This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 349.
This podcast is brought to you by UCAN. UCAN's patented ingredient, superstarch, has the remarkable ability to provide a steady release of energy without spiking your blood sugar levels. So fuel for your next personal best with UCAN, and you can get 20% off your order with the code MTAChallenge. Just go to UCAN.co and use the code MTAChallenge.
This podcast is brought to you by MetPro. Speak with a metabolic expert to review your current habits, discuss your lifestyle needs, and receive actionable steps towards achieving your goals, whether it's to lose weight or change your body composition. Go to metpro.co/MTA to get $500 off their concierge coaching.
Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, Coach Angie will share how, why, and when to successfully taper before a race so you can get to the starting line rested and feeling strong. And of course, you can get all of our back podcast episodes inside the academy. Learn about how to become a member when you visit marathontrainingacademy.com. All right, well, it's good to be bringing another podcast episode out. Between this episode and the last time we recorded, I did a half marathon, and Angie, you did a 10-mile race. So we've been doing some in-person races in our neck of the woods, and my half marathon, I think that was the first in-person race that I've done in over a year. So it was a small trail marathon. It was really fun, though, to do an in-person race.
Yeah, except for the morning of the race, it's like pouring down rain outside.
I know. So I'm like, why am I going to go run in the rain when I can just do this on a nicer day? But I'm glad I went, and I did get very wet and got massive blisters on my feet. So I should have taped my feet before going out there. And Angie, I don't know, you've probably done plenty of runs where you just have to like go straight through the water. Like there's no getting around it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always a recipe for blisters for me.
Yes. Unfortunately, the feet can be an uncomfortable area if you have wet shoes and socks.
So what else is going on?
Well, I registered for the Bozeman, Montana Half Marathon. That's going to take place in September. And I'm excited. My sister Autumn is going to register for the marathon. And we're going to hope to combine the race with visit with my family out there. And then registration also opened for the in-person Boston Marathon, which will be in October. So I threw my name in the application process, hopefully be able to get into that.
Nice. Had some news also from the running world last couple days.
Yeah, it was really exciting. Des Linden broke the 50K world record with a time of 2 hours, 59 minutes, and 54 seconds in Oregon, becoming the first woman to run sub 3 hours at the 50K distance. And just to think how mind-blowing this is, that is maintaining a 5-minute, 47-second mile for 31.1 miles, or 3:36 per kilometer. So that's just blazing fast for a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
In other marathon news, Mariko Ujeta, age 62, broke her own women's 60-plus marathon world record by running 2 hours, 52 minutes, and 1 second at a marathon in Tokyo, beating her previous time by 12 seconds. Now, that is super impressive, that time. I mean, I would kill to run that time. Not literally, but 62 years old just goes to show that age is just a number. We'd like to give some shout-outs. I'd like to say congratulations to Michelle. She completed her 300-mile challenge in a big way by running her first marathon. So that was really exciting to see. Also, we heard from Tammy. She says, my pandemic goal was achieved. I did 365 days of consistent running for a total of 1,799 miles in all types of weather and elevations. I saw about 300 sunrises, and my 11-year-old son joined me for 71 runs and 230 miles. I guess since I missed the 2,000-mile mark by a few miles, I'll have to make it my goal for 2021.
Well, that is a lot of running. And she's also really good at tracking her progress, it sounds like. How many sunrises and...
Yeah, I think that's really neat because I know for me, being able to see my statistics and look back to see where my running has taken me and the beautiful things I've been able to see, it just makes the process so much more meaningful. And we also heard from Frank in the social distancing group. He says, I reached 300 miles before my grandbaby was born, so I'm just now getting around to saying thank you to Angie and Trevor for giving this old man an opportunity to keep doing hard things. You keep us going since you keep moving the finish line. 500 miles, here we come. I also wanted to show off my favorite MTA hat. Oh, and the baby too. And he posted a picture of him holding his new grandbaby wearing his MTA hat.
Now we got to get a hat for the baby.
And this comes from Academy member Dipti. She says, I went into this weekend really thinking I was just going to run my virtual half marathon with easy effort and not push for my goal of sub 2 hours. I had a lot of excuses going through my head, but I think the main thing was that I was scared of failing. Once I got out and started running, I could feel that I was ready and I started trusting in my training. It was really tough, especially the last few miles, but I did it, finishing in 1 hour, 57 minutes, and 42 seconds, and I'm so happy. Always go after your goals and don't let excuses stop you from achieving them.
All right, we agree. Congrats on going sub two. There was another interesting post. This is from one of our coaches, Coach Steve Walden. He did a double crossing at the Grand Canyon where you go from rim to rim to rim, which is 41 miles, I believe. And when he got to the parking lot of either the trailhead or where he was staying, I don't know, he saw a car in the parking lot with an MTA sticker. We don't know who it belongs to. So there's a fellow MTAer out there at the Grand Canyon in April. So if you have a gray Hyundai with an MTA sticker on the back of your car, if you hear this, let us know because we were very curious about who was there.
Well, just shows that MTA people go to all the best places.
Angie, in fact, you were at your 10 miler and someone recognized your hat, I think, right?
Yeah, someone yelled, go MTA.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, we've sent out a couple thousand of those hats now. So I think the likelihood of being spotted in one or spotting somebody with one is gradually increasing as we leave our mark upon this world.
Hopefully it's a good one.
Hopefully this is a good one too. We were talking about tapering in this episode. As far as we know, we've never devoted a whole episode to tapering. And Angie happens to be tapering for a marathon that she has coming up. And probably a lot of you are tapering as well, or will be one day. So we want to share some tips on how to do it and why to do it. So without further ado, here is The Art of the Taper. Well on my way, well on my way.
So if you ask any marathoner what the hardest part of their training was, after mentioning maybe the long runs, a lot of people say the taper. So what is this mysterious thing that can be so challenging to people? I'm currently tapering for my 67th marathon, like Trevor mentioned. So I do have a bit of experience with the topic and the challenges that it presents.
I have never been challenged by the taper. I was joking that I'm an expert on this subject because I sign up for a marathon and then immediately start tapering. This is good stuff for me to know and learn about, even though I am too lazy to probably do most of it. But our listeners, on the other hand, they are going to take action, Angie. I just know it. And they'll become stronger runners because of it. So what can you tell us about the art of the taper?
Well, tapering refers to reducing your training load for a period of time leading up to your race. Research shows that a period of rest before racing actually increases the athlete's level of fitness and can boost performance by up to 3%. Tapering was actually a term coined in 1947 by two coaches of the Australian Olympic swim team. They were Coach Forbes Carlisle and physiology professor Frank Cotton, and they found that their athletes performed better when their training was eased up 3 weeks before the race. Many years later, it was found that the same benefit holds true for distance runners. So during your marathon training, the body may have been depleted of its enzymes, glycogen, and hormonal stores. So tapering allows for the replenishing of those reserves. It helps correct microcellular damage, and it also encourages the repairing of muscle tissue to give that natural resilience back. And there's also some evidence that your red blood cell count will go up, which allows more oxygen carrying capacity, which is super important for long distance running. Owen Anderson, PhD, editor of Running Research News, says, quote, scientific evidence suggests that temporary training reductions bolster leg muscle power, reduce lactic acid production, and carve precious minutes off race times. In contrast, hard workouts just before a race can produce nagging injuries and deplete leg muscles of their key fuel for running, which is glycogen, end of quote. Tapering can also have a psychological benefit by reducing the mental fatigue that can show up during hard training. So what does it mean to taper? It's not that we simply stop running 2 to 3 weeks before a marathon. Instead, there's a gradual reduction in mileage, typically by about 20 to 60% leading up to the race. While there's plenty of science to support the concept of tapering, it's really more of an art in the way it's applied to individual runners based on their race distance, their goals, and their experience level. Most coaches and training plans that you run across will prescribe a taper that ranges from anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks, depending on the factors I mentioned, those factors being race distance, goals, the experience of the runner, and the runner's health. And as you become a more experienced runner, you'll start to learn how your body responds, and you may actually develop a preference in the type of taper you do when it comes to how long you taper and specific mileage reductions. Your tapering needs can also change with aging, illness or injury, and if you have a lot of other life stressors.
So I wonder if tapering wasn't always an accepted practice, if people back in the day thought, we need to get some really good hard workouts in the day before the race.
Well, I mean, back in the day, they used to think that drinking water during a marathon would be damaging. So things have definitely changed over time. And we know, you know, a bit more about the physiology of the human body, how it responds during endurance events. So I think that I would rather err on the side of being well-rested before race day rather than hammering it to the very end and actually possibly hurting my chances of having a great race.
We used to say a lot, you can't cram for a marathon.
Or you shouldn't cram for a marathon.
Yeah. Kind of like when you're in college and you can like cram before a test or an exam. With marathon training, you can't just, 2 weeks until my marathon, let's hurry up and bank a bunch of endurance into my legs and go out and run a bunch of long runs and I'll be good.
That's right. It's a much slower process.
So let's talk about when a person should taper.
That's a good question, because I don't believe it's necessary to taper before every single race. There are many instances when you're using a race as part of your training for some other goal. For example, I ran a half marathon a few weeks ago and I used it as part of an 18-mile long run for my upcoming marathon. And so I didn't do any tapering beforehand because that half marathon was not my A race. It was just part of the training. Another example when you wouldn't want to taper would be when you're training for an ultra marathon and there is a marathon distance scheduled in your peak buildup week. There are also other times when you're doing a race for fun or as a way to support a less experienced runner and you're not planning on running anywhere near your full ability. For example, you decide to do a 5K race with your kids who are new or younger runners and you wouldn't need to taper for that. The length of your taper would also differ depending on whether you're training for a 10K versus a marathon. So some good instances to taper would include the following. Number one, it's a new distance for you. Number two, it's a challenging distance, such as a half marathon or beyond. Number three, you're aiming for a personal best and you're planning to run at a high effort during the race. Number four, it's not a new distance, but you've been dealing with sickness, some kind of niggles, or feeling under-recovered. So that would be an important time to build in a taper before the race.
So Angie will give some examples of lengths of tapers that are called for in training plans, like a half marathon or a marathon. But like you said, this could all vary depending on what you're training for and what experience level you have. But here are some general guidelines when it comes to successfully tapering down before a race. What do you got for us?
Well, the first thing is that too much of a good thing is still too much. Most of us have a built-in barometer in our heads that makes us feel like we're making progress when we're building towards something, whether it's increased long runs, more mileage, things like that. So we generally feel good when we feel like we're making progress. But with training, there's a point when doing more is actually going to hurt your fitness and hinder your race performance. I firmly believe it's better to go into a race slightly undertrained and 100% healthy than to go into it having checked every box on your training plan, maybe did a bit more, but be unhealthy. So with your taper, you're being asked to step back your long runs and your mileage and your effort a bit. And for type A runners, this can be a huge challenge. Now, if you're more relaxed about training, like Trevor, then the taper may be just your style. In your case, Trevor, too much of a good thing would be too much tapering is also not a good thing.
That's actually what I thought when I first heard you say that. I was like, oh no, she's talking about too much running. Is it hard for you? Because you're type A. Is it hard for you to step back in those final weeks?
I would say my first few marathons, it was really hard. But like I said, I'm training for my 67th marathon. And I've seen the benefit of the taper time and time again. And the times when I haven't tapered well, when I've done too much, I see how it's affected my race in a negative way or my health. So even though it's hard for me, I have to kind of talk myself down mentally, I really see the benefit of the taper. So I do enjoy it now. The second guideline is don't compare yourself to other runners during the taper. You may hear about runners who are training for the same marathon that you are, and they decide to do a 26-mile run a week before the marathon. And that can lead you to doubt the decision to cut back. You're like, oh no, I only did a 20-mile long run as my longest run, and now I'm cutting back, and here this overachiever is doing a 26-mile long run. That kind of like, you know, mess with your mind. And the taper can be doubly hard when maybe you feel like you didn't have an ideal training cycle, and you start to question, maybe I didn't do enough. But when you find anxiety gnawing at your mind that you're not doing enough, just replace it with a positive truth. The positive truth is my body is resting and getting stronger during this taper so that I have a great race. And the guy who did the 26-mile run a week before the marathon is going to have a piano handed to him very quickly during the marathon. The third thing to keep in mind is that anxiety is common during the taper. The taper can really mess with self-confidence because suddenly you're being asked to do less, to take it a bit easier, while your mind is saying, hey, I've got a big event coming up. So if you're prepared for and you acknowledge that this anxiety may happen, it's a big part of the battle. Then you can be aware of what's going on when those anxious thoughts or even those little aches and pains show up.
Yeah, to have some pre-race jitters that are amplified because you're tapering and afraid that you're not going to be fully prepared before your marathon, especially if it's your first one, it's common. We've been helping people run marathons for over a decade now. Just know that what you're feeling, many other people feel as well.
That's right. The fourth guideline is to follow a training plan, whether it's one that's prescribed by your coach or more of a cookie cutter style plan that you're using. If you're winging it with your training and trying to go it alone, it's very common to either do too much in training or do too little. A type A runner will probably do too much, and a more relaxed personality may err on the side of doing too little. There is a healthy balance in there. A training plan can help you peak your fitness at the right time and will also build in a tapering period so that you feel fresh and rested by race day. Now, the last couple of weeks during the taper is a good time to reduce the intensity and duration of other cross-training activities that you're doing as well. For example, I always taper down my strength training and other exercise so that the only thing I'm doing the week before a race, in addition to running, is light mobility work and maybe a little bit of stretching.
All right, so we had those two episodes about strength training recently, and you talked about the importance of lifting heavy and what the science says about that. So you don't do that 2 weeks before your big day.
Yeah, that's right. About 2 weeks before a marathon, I drop back the intensity and the load of my weight training by approximately 50%. Because yes, I need to be resting these muscles. They need to have their full resilience and their full power. And then 1 week before a marathon, for example, I cut out all strength training. Now I may do just some body weight, some mobility work to keep my joints and my muscles, you know, feeling engaged and fresh, maybe a little bit of stretching. But I'm not going to be gaining anything in the week before a marathon as far as fitness goes. And I can actually hurt my fitness by doing too much.
It reminds me of the book by David Goggins, where he does a 24-hour race. He doesn't know anything about running back then, so he does like a hard lower body day the day before his race. He didn't know what to eat, so he's just like eating saltine crackers.
That was an excruciating part of the book for me. I'm like, no! So for example, I'll give you a couple examples of tapers from the MTA training plans. We've got a beginner half marathon training plan, and that plan has a 2 week taper. So you're going to do your longest training run of 12 miles 2 weeks before the race. 1 week before the race, you'll do a 6 mile long run, and then you'll gradually just taper down until you have your race the following weekend. with the beginner marathon plan that has a 3-week taper. So you do your longest run, which is 20 miles, 3 weeks before the race. The next week, you'll do a 12-mile long run. So that would be 2 weeks out before your marathon. And then 1 week out before your marathon, you do an 8-mile long run and then gradually just taper it down. And then you'll have your marathon the next weekend.
All right. So you go from 20 to 12 to 8, boom, to 26.2.
That's right. The fifth guideline is to be present during the workouts that you do have during the taper so that you can fulfill the true purpose of them. This is especially important on the easy run days when you may be tempted to blow off some of your extra energy and run too fast. Remember, the purpose of the taper is to allow your body to show up at the start line strong and healthy and give you a better chance of a great performance.
So, Angie, when you say be present, you're saying to be intentional, be careful. What do you mean by be present?
Well, I think it's really easy to say, oh, I have got 3 miles today, you know, I'm tapering. And then you just don't even really look at the part where it's supposed to be an easy run. And boom, you take off. You're like channeling the extra energy you have into this 3-mile long run. And pretty soon you realize that you've actually run 3 miles hard. So that's not following the intention of the taper, where it should be very deliberate and not just you forgetting what you're supposed to be doing and suddenly, you know, racing a 3-miler. Or even, you know, if you're not paying attention, stepping off a sidewalk wrong, twisting your ankle. Sometimes it's when we get injured leading up to a race, it's because we're just not present. We have anxiety. We have a lot of things swirling around. We're not even really there in our body at the time.
Ah, got it.
And finally, channel your extra energy wisely. So if you find yourself with extra time and energy, try to fill it with something else productive and fun. Now, this could be something that was neglected during the times that you were busy during training. This can be anything from organizing a closet, which I may realize, Trevor, doesn't sound fun to you. Reading a book, sleeping in a little longer, soaking in a hot bath, going on an easy bike ride for fun, getting a massage, catching up on a TV show, all those things can be excellent ways to channel the extra time or energy that you may have.
Hitting the pub. I don't see that in there.
Well, that might actually reduce how good you feel on race day. So save that for afterward.
That's right.
I will also mention, though, be sure not to try something new and risky during your tapering period that might result in injury. This is probably not the best time to learn skateboarding or skiing for the first time or start a new and intense exercise program.
So there are some general guidelines that will help you during the important tapering part of your marathon training buildup. And like I said, we've helped a lot of people train for marathons and half marathons. And there are some things that we've noticed, patterns, questions, concerns that have come up time and again. So we wanted to cover some things that are normal during a taper, some things that you can look out for and just identify and say, hey, well, that's just part of the process. Like self-doubt and feeling restless and so on. Before we get into that, let's thank our amazing sponsors. First of all, UCAN. I don't know if you guys have seen, but they have finally, after how many years of people asking, they have their gel. It's called UCAN Edge. We've been big fans of UCAN, of course, and we've actually answered questions from listeners like, do they have a gel? How do you make a gel? Well, now they have one.
That's right. We've been using UCAN for nearly a decade. And the cool thing is that UCAN really wanted to get their gel right. They didn't want to add a bunch of preservatives and things that are against the character of their products and their company. So they have finally released their UCAN Edge. I was able to test it before they released it. And I can attest that it provides the same long-lasting fuel, doesn't give you that blood sugar spike and crash.
In a handy little package that you can just slip in your running shorts or in your hydration pack. No need to mix it with water. Of course, all their stuff is awesome. If you haven't tried them yet, check them out. UCAN.co/MTA. You'll get 20% off with the code MTA Challenge. Go to UCAN.co, use the code MTA Challenge for 20% off. And thanks also to our friends at MetPro. They've been a great partner for the podcast. They are metabolic experts that help you figure out your current habits, your lifestyle needs, and take steps toward achieving your goals, whether it be to change your body composition or to lose weight and to perform better on race day.
That's right. I've been working with a MetPro coach, and it's been a wonderful experience. I was able to lose 30 pounds and then start to dial in my performance needs so that I can feel stronger and healthier and go the distance, hopefully even faster. MetPro has a really handy app to help guide you through the process. They also have concierge coaching, and you can get a free consultation, talk to one of their experts to find out which would work for your needs. You just have to go to metpro.co/MTA to find out more.
Yeah, that's right. Check them out at metpro.co/MTA. The consultation call is completely free. So tell them what your needs are and see if they can help you. That's metpro.co/MTA. So we're talking about taper madness. Some things are normal to feel during this time in your training plan. It's a couple weeks before your race. What are some of the things that a person can be experiencing during that period?
Yeah, we mentioned earlier that one of the most challenging things about the taper is dealing with anxiety. So I was just kind of brainstorming, thinking of some of the things that I've experienced, some of my coaching clients have experienced, some of the many people we've worked with have experienced. And so maybe some of these will resonate with people in our audience. I think one of the first things I think of is self-doubt. The questions of, did I do enough? Do I have what it takes? Did I train right? What if I fail? Those are all normal questions that'll go through your mind. Another normal thing is looking forward to the taper, and then when it arrives, not enjoying it as much as you thought you would. You can have bad dreams about the race. You arrive late. You get lost. You can't find your race kit. I mean, I've had all sorts of these dreams. The marathon turned into like an obstacle course, and I can't like get back on course, and it's all this turmoil is being channeled into these dreams. There can also be daydreaming about the race. I mean, I've had myself thinking like, what if I have the most amazing race of my life? And I'm like dreaming of running faster than I've ever run in my entire life before. And, you know, like qualifying for the Olympics and all these completely out there things. So it's funny how your mind can shift from worst case scenario to like best case scenario. Another thing that's common is obsessing about your last long run. You know, maybe it didn't go as well. Maybe it wasn't the confidence builder that you wanted it to be. So you're kind of wanting to do a repeat or have a do-over, thinking that is going to help me go into this race feeling stronger. Don't do it, by the way.
Yeah, if your longest run was 20 miles and you're going to do a marathon, and let's say you're a beginner, this will be your first marathon, you might be worried if you have what it takes to go that final six.
Point two.
Yeah, point two. I could do the final six. It's that point too that has me worried. But our beginner marathon plan, and not just ours, but a lot of them out there, only have you go up to 20 miles as your longest long run.
For all the almost 67 marathons I've run, my longest long run for a marathon has only been 20 miles. So yeah. It works, people.
That's right.
Another thing is normal is feeling restless, feeling anxious, feeling mild irritability. If you find yourself snapping at your partner or your children, it could be that you're having some tapering madness.
Hey, but it does make for some pretty funny running memes out there. There's like this angry cat meme, and someone put on there, "Leave me alone, I'm tapering."
Here's one that I relate to. Caution, beware of tapering runner. Maybe cranky, irrational, and moody.
We're going to get you that caution sign. No, I don't think you ever get like that. During the taper. I mean, you do get like that.
Only when I'm hungry. It's very common to obsess about how you're feeling, to worry about getting sick. You know, like, oh no, my child just coughed. They're probably going to get sick, and then I'm going to get sick, and it can like cause this whole spiral of thoughts that goes to a very dark place. It's normal to worry that you're losing fitness or that you're gaining weight because you're not running and exercising so much. Suddenly new aches and niggles start appearing and you're like, what is going on? My body is betraying me. It's breaking down. You know, you can start to obsess about suddenly a sore toenail or something that you've never dealt with before.
Yeah, with the extra time that you have, since you're doing easy runs, your brain now has the opportunity to obsess more over every little weird sensation in your body and then to catastrophize that and make yourself believe that something's going wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Another thing that's common is worrying about race details or logistics, you know, like really like going into a rabbit hole, like trying to micromanage every single thing leading up to race day. Feeling extra hungry or possibly feeling less hungry because you're not running as much. Weather stalking, this is a big one. Like 10-day forecast, you know, whatever city your marathon is in. Watching it obsessively, like, oh no, it's supposed to rain, 30% chance of rain, you know.
Yeah, I do that.
That is very common. Because, I mean, you kind of have to figure out what you're going to wear, so you've got to keep an eye on the weather, and then that suddenly you're checking it multiple times a day.
Yeah, I'm guilty of weather stalking. I don't see how you cannot do it, because you want everything to go so perfect on the big day.
Right, but like maybe check the weather once a day. And then the day before the race or whenever you have to leave, like maybe check it like three times, you know, like set yourself a maximum number of times. Another thing that's normal is that just ordinary training runs suddenly feel hard. And you're like, this 3 mile run or 5 mile run feels awful. Like, how am I going to run a marathon or a half marathon? It's also normal to obsess about what shoes or other gear that you'll wear, of course, based on your weather stocking. You know, you got to figure out the perfect race kit. Ordering new running gear that you hope will give you an edge. How many of us have done that? Although we know we shouldn't be doing anything new on race day. It's also normal to try to block out any thoughts about the race because it just causes you to worry. So just kind of like compartmentalizing the race and just keeping your mind away from it. That's totally normal as well. Overthinking your pacing strategy. You know, you got your calculator app out and you're like calculating, well, what if I run 845 miles? What would 847 miles do? You know, and you got like three different pace bands just in case. Overthinking your nutrition and hydration strategy. Now, I think there's a good balance. Obviously, it's important to know where the aid stations are going to be and what you're going to use for fuel going into it and having practiced that and having an idea of what your body needs. But we can always go to the over extreme and start tweaking things way too much or even changing nutrition strategy right before race day because, you know, you read something that you think will give you an edge. It's also normal to stalk the race website or their socials to glean every last detail and then start reading other blogs that talk about the race that you're going to do. It's like maybe one, you know, little micro detail is just going to help give you that extra edge.
Yeah, this half marathon I did, they made it kind of fun because they had a bunch of info that all the runners needed, but they broke it up into four separate emails kind of as a series. And the writing style was pretty humorous too. And a lot of that carried over onto the race course when you're supposed to put your mask on when you come to an aid station. And so there's a sign that says, mask up, buttercup.
That's a good one. I had to laugh one, though. Frequently asked questions in this half marathon I did recently. One of the top frequently asked questions that in their minds was, will there be prize money? And I'm like, no. We want to know where the porta pots are going to be. Will there be aid stations? Like none of that information was on the race website, but the prize money was.
All their FAQ had like questions that were only relevant to like five people.
Exactly.
Where's the starting line should be a good question.
Yeah, that was pretty amusing. It's also normal to read books about running or watch documentaries and movies, hoping for an edge up in your mental or physical performance during the race. Like maybe that one last tip. And I will say this is actually a pretty good way to channel that extra energy and anxiety because I've read certain books leading up to marathons. Like I remember reading David Goggins' book, Can't Hurt Me, that you talked about earlier before my Michigan marathon. And it just really put my head in a good place, like a tougher mental mindset. And it helped me go into the race. So sometimes the stuff actually does work.
Listen to our episode when we interviewed John DeSola Mendes, who ran a marathon at age 96. And then tell yourself, okay, if he can get through it at 96, I can definitely get through it now.
That's right. Something that's also very common is overthinking or trying to craft the perfect music playlist for your race. We had someone ask us once to do episodes that were marathon length for their race. And we're like, but everyone runs a different time for their marathon. How are we supposed to craft this perfect podcast length?
If you want like a 4 hour long podcast episode, we don't even want to hear ourselves talk for that long.
So yeah, these are just the things that we do. It's completely normal, maybe a bit crazy to some people, but runners understand. And it's also completely normal to enjoy the taper and wish it were longer. So if you're not dealing with a lot of the tapering anxiety we talked about, be thankful. It's not a sign that your race is not going to go good if you're not overthinking things. Just remember, at the end of the day, the purpose of the taper is to help you feel more mentally and physically refreshed for race day. Even though you may be doing less physically during this time, you can still be working on your mental strength. So when you have those anxious thoughts, be sure to acknowledge them. The thoughts are just a sign that you care about the race and your performance. And then you can work on building positive mantras to make your mind stronger for race day.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, good luck to all of you preparing for a race. And if you're going through the taper madness, we feel your pain. It will pay off to be well rested when you get to the starting line of your race. whether it's an in-person race or it's a virtual race that you set on the calendar for yourself. And we're here to help you any way we can. Check us out at marathontrainingacademy.com, where you can get more podcast episodes and content, and find us on Facebook and Instagram at Marathon Academy. And if you got a question, send us an email through our contact form on our website. That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for being a listener. It's an honor to be on this running journey with you. Always remember, you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Run on my way, run on my way.